long 12-month theme on God the Holy Spirit. We started way back in September. We felt God wanted us to focus on the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, really taking time to get to know him, finding out all about him, about the things that the Holy Spirit does, who he is, what he does. And so we rather than just kind of just rush at it, we felt God wanted us to really kind of take our time and getting to know a bit more about God the Holy Spirit. And so we started, and we're going to continue this season up until the summer. And I personally, as we've been walking down these months together, looking at finding out about God the Holy Spirit, I've heard God speak to me in a clear way. On Sundays here as we gather together in cell group, on Monday nights, on my own time spent with God, I've heard God speak by the Holy Spirit in my heart. And my desire for myself and for us is that we would move into more of what the Holy Spirit has for us in terms of experiencing God. Christianity is an experiential faith. It's not a theoretical faith. It's an experience of God, with God. And God the Holy Spirit is the person of the Trinity who primarily is working here on earth, in our lives, working in us, filling us, showing us, revealing to us, doing all kinds of things. And so it's very important, I think, in this season as we get to know him. I've got a little leaflet. So it seems to be handout week this week. If I just pass, rather than, there's lots of stuff today, rather than having to like write a lot of notes, whatever, I'm just passing out a leaflet that kind of just contains a summary of some stuff that may be helpful for us. We're going to start this morning a season where we're looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So for now, for quite a few months, we're going to be focusing on the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And this sheet that's coming around contains kind of a summary of some Bible passages that are helpful in that. Let's pray together, shall we, to start with. Father, thank you. Lord, we are really grateful this morning that, Lord, that you, in your kindness and goodness, Lord, you're with us, you're for us, you're on our side. Lord, you have a wonderful purpose and plan for our lives. Lord, that you have for us today something to learn, something to be taken inside us, something to change us, something to refresh us, something, Lord, to keep us in the purpose and path for which, Lord, you put your hand upon our lives. Thank you for every single one of us here this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you love us. Thank you, you've got good things for us. And thank you, you're the God that speaks. Lord, that you don't hold back. You're not a silent God. You're a God that speaks into our lives with great power, with wonderful power to change us and make us more like the wonderful Jesus. And Holy Spirit, we invite you this morning to come, to reveal, to speak, to do what you long to do in our lives and our hearts. We give you the place. We make space for you this morning, Holy Spirit. Please come. Please come in a wonderful, powerful, and fresh way. Amen. I grew up in a church where the minister of the church was an older man. I think he'd been retired and kind of brought out of retirement to continue his work in the church. And he told a story once of his experience while he was visiting one of his parishioners. As he was visiting one of his parishioners, the parishioner used to give him a bag of Brazil nuts. And he was quite cheered by this little present, took it home, enjoyed his Brazil nuts. And it got to be quite a habit. Every time he visited this parishioner, the church minister was presented on the way out with a bag of Brazil nuts. And so, you know, he would love, on a kind of wintry evening, drawing up beside the fire and munching his Brazil nuts. He kind of thought it was quite nice. Anyway, curiosity kind of caught the better of him. And one day, as he was visiting his parishioner, he said, he wanted to ask, Why do you give me, every time I leave, why do you give me a bag of Brazil nuts? Very kind, you know, very generous, but why do you give me this bag of Brazil nuts? The parishioner was a bit embarrassed and admitted that he didn't actually buy the Brazil nuts, but in fact they were a gift from a relative. And this relative regularly supplied him with delicious chocolate Brazils. But whilst he loved the chocolate, he found that the nuts got under his dentures. And so he would suck the chocolate off, dry the, true story, dry the nuts, and then give them to the church minister. It kind of altered his view of the gift that he received so regularly. He never actually quite fancied them so much after that. And the funny thing was, he went off Brazil nuts. I think gifts are great. Gifts are fantastic. We all like getting gifts. They're attractive. Gifts of the Holy Spirit are attractive. Seeing the gifts of the Holy Spirit at work, there's something very attractive, something very powerful, something very gripping about seeing the gifts of the Holy Spirit at work. As we're starting our new series today, looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as we look at them, there's a lot there which excites, stirs us, captures us, draws us on. It is very, very thrilling. And also, we're going to look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit, at the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, producing the character of Jesus in us. So we're going to look at two things. We're going to unpack and look at gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I've listed them on the sheet there. Those are some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit I've listed there. And we're also going to look at, unpack, and think about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Which is more important, the gifts or the fruit? Well, I've put them both there on the sheet because as we walk through these next months, the thing, my real heart, real desire is to see they're both important. It's not just gifts. It's not just fruit. It's not just that the gifts are important and the fruit aren't. It's not just that the fruit is important, but the gifts are. But what in fact is that both are important. So it depends on your church background. If you kept brought up in some kind of churches, then you would feel that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are the real important things. Other church backgrounds may emphasize the fruit of the Holy Spirit as being the things that really are important. What I want us to kind of ask is for the next months, is if you can come with an open heart. Come with your spirit open, ready to hear what the scriptures are saying. Ready to look at what God wants to teach us about the gifts and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now remember, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is what God the Holy Spirit produces in our lives, in our characters, which is permanent. It's something God does in me, something God does in you, that produces something which is of permanence in our characters. Something which is kind of in us, it becomes part of us. It's not a kind of add-on, it's something which is very much part of who we are. And it's a process, walking down that path of seeing that fruit born in our lives. It's a process. And so we're going to be, over the next months, walking down a path of focusing on, looking to see birthed in our lives, more of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But then also, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are those wonderful charismata, those wonderful gifts, grace gifts, gifts from above, gifts from heaven, gifts that God in his generosity, because God's a God like that, he wants to put in our lives, wants to deposit in our lives, gifts to empower us to do what he's called us to do. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit are simply like tools. One of the ways someone explained it to me, which I've always found really helpful, it's like if you're a tradesman or a craftsman, you've got a bag of tools, and those tools help you to do the job. If you turned up to do a job, a plumbing job or a carpentry job, without your tools, you'd be lost. You need the right tools to do the job. And God has called us as his church to do a job. And if you and I are going to do that effectively, we're going to need the tools. And that is exactly why God has given us the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to enable us to do effectively the work that God has for us to do. But the thing to bear in mind about the gifts of the Holy Spirit is that the gifts reflect the goodness of the giver. They don't say anything about the person necessarily who has them, because those gifts have been given by God. They're grace gifts. They're gifts not because I'm a good person, I've earned them, I've kind of done something which deserves those gifts, but those gifts are simply available to you and I as members of the body of Christ out of God's goodness, out of God's generosity, because God wants us to be effective in what he's called us to do. I believe, in fact I know, that there are many of us, for many of us here, there are hidden gifts. There are things God has deposited in your life that you don't know about. And one of the kind of things we're going to look at over these next months is we're going to look at trying to unlock release the potential, release the gifts, release what God's put in your life so that you can be more effective in what God's called you to do. So the pattern for these next months, there's a passage in Exodus 28, and it's God's instruction for Aaron's priestly robe. God gave instructions for how Aaron's priestly robe is to be made. This is what it says in Exodus 28. Make the robe of the ephod entirely of blue cloth with an opening for the head in the center. It'll be a woven edge like a collar around this opening so it will not tear. Make pomegranates of blue, purple, scarlet yarn around the hem of the robe and gold bells between them. The gold bells and the pomegranate are to alternate around the hem of the robe. Aaron must wear it when he ministers. So Aaron, the priest, had this beautiful kind of robe on, and at the bottom of the robe, the hem of the robe, there was alternate fruit, which was the pomegranate, and a bell all the way around the kind of bottom of this hem. And I just felt kind of inspiration from that, that God wants I think the bells make a noise. And they're a symbol, a picture of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there's something about the gifts of the Holy Spirit which is quite dramatic, quite powerful, and sort of draws attention to them to some extent. And that around that bottom of that hem of his garment, as he was ministering, alternating, there was a fruit, a pomegranate, and this bell, which I think symbolizes a gift. It was like an alternating bell fruit, like gift, fruit. And I think in terms of balance that God's looking in our lives, that God wants us to be those that are full of the fruit of the Holy Spirit and those that use and know the gifts of the Holy Spirit, so that there is a balance in our lives. So I'm not someone that's kind of caught up in the gifts of the Holy Spirit to the exclusion of the fruit, or neither am I so caught up with the fruit of the Holy Spirit that I ignore the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So in order to do that, over the next months, we're going to be alternating. 1 week we'll be looking at one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The next week we'll look at one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So it'll be like alternating one and then the other as we go on to hopefully take us in balance through the kind of the weeks we've got coming ahead. We're very excited because the preachers from the preaching course are going to be sharing with us over these next months. And we're really excited about that because over last summer we got so much, it was just such a wonderful time hearing fresh revelation from God. So I really encourage you to come with open hearts as we start next week looking at one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which is the fruit of love. That's what we're going to be doing over these next the next weeks ahead. So this morning, though, I just want to look at a little bit at the church in Corinth. Now, the church in Corinth, I love the church in Corinth. The church in Corinth was very much like London, particularly North London, because Corinth as a city, when Paul wrote to it, all those years ago, 2,000 years ago, it was a very multicultural, vibrant, happening place. Very cosmopolitan, quite affluent to a certain extent. And the people in that place, in Corinth, they kind of made some big mistakes. And Paul wrote two letters, we wrote maybe a number of letters, we've got two recorded here in the New Testament, where he seeks to help them understand the mistakes they made and kind of address those and move on from those mistakes. Now, the thing about the Christians in Corinth is they had discovered the gifts of the Holy Spirit in a big way. And they were kind of really, really a church that was heavily, heavily into the gifts of the Holy Spirit to the exclusion of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So when Paul came to them, he was kind of horrified at what they were up to. Because as he walked in their meeting, all that happened as he walked in, the thing would start, it would be chaos. And all that would happen was that people were speaking in tongues out loud all the time, kind of just from the beginning to the end, in just sort of a chaotic, and they were trying to outdo each other with how loud and how brash and how good their speaking in tongues was. And so the whole atmosphere of the place was complete chaos. And then when it came to have the bread and the wine, have the Lord's Supper together, what was happening was that the people that had money brought loads of wine and were getting drunk. People that had no money were sitting there kind of having nothing to eat and nothing to drink. And so it was just, the whole place was a complete disaster. And so Paul wrote to them a number of letters. And in 1 Corinthians 3, he says this in verse 1. It's like, I couldn't address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. So he saw them, even though they had many, many spiritual gifts that they were using to great kind of volume as such. He said, you're worldly. You're infants. You're only babies in Jesus. Because your attitude, your heart attitude is wrong. There isn't the fruit of the Holy Spirit operating and seen amongst you. And so he really kind of told them off. Paul, I love to read Paul's letters because he is so straight. He doesn't kind of package it kind of nicely and kind of euphemistically. He lets them have it absolute straight. And one of the things about the gifts of the Holy Spirit is to see that there is a balance between walking in the fruit of the Holy Spirit and walking and knowing the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Paul tells the church, the Corinthian church, in this, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, he says, about spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant. See, those Corinthian church was using all kinds of spiritual gifts, but they were ignorant about how they were properly to be used. And one of our goals as we walk down this path in these next months is that we'll learn that we wouldn't be ignorant. That if Paul today walked in the church, he wouldn't be able to level that as a criticism against us, that we're ignorant about the operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so one of our goals as we're going to be walking down this path these next few months is that we would learn, we would understand, and we would start to move into more of the gifts of the Holy Spirit being operating in our lives. The thing that I'm very excited about is I absolutely know that in your life, God has put hidden gifts that you haven't unpacked yet. It's like you've got a suitcase inside of gifts, and some of those gifts you know about, others you don't. And what God wants of each of us is that we would be those who at the end of our life can stand before God, and that we can have done all that God's asked us to do and been as effective as we can using all the gifts that God's given us. So really, it's quite a serious thing. This kind of progress we're on, this kind of path we're on, it's a serious responsibility that at the end of our lives we can stand before God and say, God, I did all I could. I used all the gifts you've given me, all the talents, all the abilities, all the gifts you've given me. I've used them the maximum to achieve all that you wanted me to do. And then as we read in the Gospels, God says, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and enter my rest. And so there's a responsibility on us to find out, to unpack, and to learn how to use those gifts that God's placed in us. And it's exciting. It's an adventure. I really want to sort of stir up a kind of risk orientation, a kind of a sense of adventure over these next months. To really say, God, is that something you're stirring in me? Is there a gift there? If you look through that gift, the list of gifts I've put down there, some of those will excite you, and you know you've got those gifts already operating in your life. Others you may wish, you think, oh, I wish that was what operating in my life. Or others, you may not even be aware that God's placed it in you, and it's going to be released. Very, very exciting. Now, but back to the Corinthian church, these people were ignorant, not just of spiritual things, but they were ignorant of what it means to know the fruit of the Spirit. So that's why Paul told them off. He said, you're babies in Jesus. I don't see the life of Jesus in you. I don't recognize the fruit of the work of God in your life. All these kind of gifts are like noisy, clanging cymbals, just making a kind of jarring noise. I don't see the reality of the work on the authentic growth in Jesus in your life. And that's something that we want to walk down and experience for all of us, that we would know and experience the fruit of the Holy Spirit as God changes, as God works in us. Now, one thing is, if you plant a tree, then it takes a while for that tree to grow and mature and produce fruit. And this whole thing of bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, if you look on that list I've given you, it says the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Those gifts, those fruit that God wants to see brought in our life are something which God produces in us. I haven't got to kind of sit down and try and make it happen or try and get more love or try and sort of get joy from somewhere. Those are, that's fruit that God wants to bear in our lives. The work of the Holy Spirit is to produce that fruit, which is a great relief to know. It's not just about trying to be a better Christian or be a nicer person, but actually it's a result of the authentic work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Paul said this about the Corinthians and their favor in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 6. He said, our testimony about Jesus was confirmed in you. In other words, he saw in them the life of Jesus. When he preached, they responded, and he started to see changes in their life. So he said, we saw something happened in you, in your lives. That's the authentic good news of Jesus, is change. Not just initial change when we're born again, when God starts to work in our life, but an ongoing process of bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit so that we become more like Jesus and more of that facets of that fruit is seen in our lives. There was a story of a man who, when he was young, he wanted to grow tomatoes. So he planted tomato plants. He watched over them daily to see the signs of fruit being produced. But unfortunately, that summer wasn't a very good summer for growing plants. And his tomatoes didn't even develop the tiniest little green kind of tomatoes. Nothing at all. But he was thrilled one morning. He came downstairs one morning, as usual, to look at his tomato plant. And as he got down to his tomato plant, he looked, as he saw these big, ripe, luscious, red tomatoes hanging from his plant. He was overjoyed until he got a bit closer and he realized that his mum had wanted to encourage him, and she'd got some supermarket tomatoes and tied them on with little bits of wire to try and fake the fruit. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit is never faked. People will recognize in your life the fruit of God's work. It's not something we can put on. We can't put a mask on to pretend. We can do for a short time. But it's an authentic work. It's a real work. It's something which is in us. That's the wonderful thing. I want to stir you this morning with faith to walk in the more of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's really worth walking down the path of getting more of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because it's authentic. It's something that becomes part of me. It's not a bolt-on. It's not an add-on. It's not something you need to tie on. And it's something that's born through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we're going to find out practically, fruit by fruit, over these next months, how to do that. There was a Tsar of Russia. He was Ivan the Fourth. He, in fact, was the first Tsar of Russia. Yulia's looking a bit quizzical, so she's Russian. I hope I'm just right with this. But anyway, history has it, he was a cruel man. And he was nicknamed Ivan the Terrible because he was such a nasty kind of piece of work. He married 7 wives and was really cruel and horrible to all his wives. He was immoral, he was violent, and he was such a horrible person, he used to throw animals off the walls of the Kremlin just to watch them die. He was just a really kind of nasty piece of work, this Ivan the Fourth. Anyway, he died in the year 1584. And historians record that the officials at his death, what if the officials did is they took his body, they shaved his head and dressed him in the burial robes of a monk, hoping that God would think that he was a monk and so let him into heaven. I don't think God was fooled by that for a moment. The thing about the fruit of the Holy Spirit is you can't fool it. We can't pretend it. It's not something. It's something which is either born in our life or it's not. And as followers of Jesus, we don't want to be those that Paul would be able to say, you're babies in Jesus. You're just starting off. You haven't kind of made any progress in your faith. You've become a Christian, but you haven't grown in the fruit of the Spirit. You haven't grown in these things. We don't want that as in our lives. We want to be those that would become more like Jesus. It says in Antioch that the followers of Jesus were first called Christians in Antioch, that place there. Christians, Nick was saying last week, they're little Christs, little people who they recognize the life of Jesus was in them. They look like little Jesus because the work of Jesus was so much working in them that people recognize that wonderful, unique life of Jesus working in them. Let's listen to the advice of the Apostle John. In John 15, he said this, the words of Jesus. John records the words of Jesus where he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. In verse 4, Jesus says, live in me and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you are vitally united to me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Yeah, the kind of wonderful words of Jesus, saying that really being connected to Jesus, that life of him by the Holy Spirit flows from Jesus, from heaven, down into me and changes my life and produces this fruit, the wonderful fruit of love. Who amongst us doesn't want to be more loving or experience more joy or know more peace or know more patience or know what it means to be kinder or know what it means to have more self-control? All these wonderful fruit of the Spirit. I don't know if you've ever visited Hampton Court, but in the garden of Hampton Court, there's a grape vine that grows there. That it's kept under glass for protection, but it's 1,000 years old, this grapevine. And it's only got one root, but that one root is over 2 feet thick. And some of the branches of this vine are 200 feet long. Because of the skillful pruning and cutting over these last years, the vine produces tons of grapes every year. Even though some of the smaller branches are 200 feet away from the main stem, they still produce fruit because they are joined to the vine and the life of the vine flows out and into those branches. And you know, God's purpose for us is that as we're connected vitally into Jesus, his life is flowing from Jesus into me, changing me, bearing the fruit. Just as that vine continues year after year for 1,000 years bearing fruit, God wants in my life that fruit to be born. Wonderful, isn't it? But the encouraging thing to remember is that fruit is fruit, whether it's only a tiny little, you know, ones that have only just started to be formed, or big fruit. And that, you know, however long we've kind of known Jesus, however long we've been a Christian, whether it's a short time or a long time, in all our lives, God's got a purpose and a plan to see that fruit born, to see that fruit produced. But there's no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts in terms of getting that fruit. We can't suddenly sort of jump ahead and think, oh, I want to jump ahead to a different level in my kind of Christian character. It takes time. When you go to the supermarket, you've got lots of choice. If you go and look at especially if you go to the tomatoes, back to our tomato thing, look at tomatoes. There's a huge amount of choice. If you go to Safeways, wherever you go and shop there, the choice in tomatoes is amazing. But if you try and ripen that fruit too quickly, it loses its flavour. And what supermarkets often do is they buy tomatoes when they're not ripe. They ship them to the supermarket because they don't get bruised then. If they're not ripe, they're hard and don't get bruised. Then they expose them to carbon dioxide gas, and the carbon dioxide gas suddenly blushes them red. And so they put them on display, and they look, you think, oh, juicy red tomatoes. And you sink your teeth and think, oh, it's a bit hard. And you compare that with the I'm going to sound like I'm a Safeway's advert here. No? But if you buy the vine-ripened tomatoes, the taste is so different because they haven't been sort of rushed through with a quick squirt of carbon dioxide. The sun has poured down on those little juicy tomatoes and they've kind of grown, all the flavors kind of, oh, mouth-watering, isn't it? There's no way to suddenly mature. As a follower of Jesus, it is a path. It is a walk. God's called us to walk down a path. And that is a wonderful, exciting thing. And I'd encourage you this morning to continue down that path and allow God to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You see, one of the things is we have a choice. We can either say, God's brought me this far, and, you know, it looks hard. The path ahead looks a bit tough, to be honest. And so I think I was going to have a little kind of time out here and go and sit down over here. Or we can say, God, with your help, with your strength, I'm going to take the path of walking down what it means to grow as a Christian, to see more of the life of Jesus born in me. Joyce Myers, one thing she said was this, I found really encouraging. Joyce Myers said, I'm not where I need to be. I'm not where I need to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. And she's acknowledging the fact that in her life, God has brought her so far. And okay, she's not where she'd like to be or needs to be as a follower of Jesus, but thank God of where she's come and what God has done in her life. Someone else said this, God's strategy in a nutshell is this. He builds into you and me the beauty of his own character and then puts us on display. And that's God's strategy, is over months and years to build in our lives the beauty of the character of Jesus. And then to put us on display. That we would give credit to God, that people would see Jesus. They wouldn't see me, they wouldn't think, oh, isn't this person a nice person? But what they would see is the wonderful character of Jesus himself in us. And give credit and honor and glory to God. We're God's billboards. We're God's advertising. God could have sent loads of angels. God could have done it kind of different way, sort of things in the sky. But instead, he's chosen you and I, and he wants to make our lives just full of his life. Just that's about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. As far as gifts of the Holy Spirit are concerned, from the day I become a Christian, the day I got born again, October 1979, a long time ago, from that moment onwards, those gifts are available to me. And so I can use those gifts right from the moment when I get born again. Because those gifts aren't as a result of the character and life of God that God works in me. Those gifts are gifts, they're tools. They're tools that are there for me to use. And so God wants to teach me, God wants to show me. But that's why someone who's just this moment become a Christian can receive a very clear, accurate prophecy, word of knowledge or something from God. The reason is, and why in Acts, as you look through Acts, sometimes you see people were born again, they were baptized in water, they immediately prayed for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. You think, well, these guys, 10 minutes ago, these guys were kind of not in the kingdom of God. And now, these guys, people are prophesying, they're speaking out the very words of God. And that's because God's gifts reflect God, how good God is as the giver. And so, gifts don't validate me. If I use the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they don't mean I'm an important person, or I'm a special person, or I'm a holy person, or I'm a good person, or I'm a person necessarily who's got a lot of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. They reflect the goodness of God and they reflect the power of the Creator. But there's a responsibility on us in terms of those that do want to be used by God to learn how to use those gods. Paul said to the Corinthian church, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. I don't want you to use them incorrectly as they were doing, but I want you to grow up and start being mature in the way that you use these gifts. As a church, historically, we're kind of the stream that's flowed in this place is one where we've valued the gifts of the Holy Spirit and we value the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I really want us to continue down that path of valuing what it means to not be ignorant and be able to use the gifts that God's given us and to be those that mature and grow in the fruit of the Spirit. Look at that list I've given you. I'll hand that list out. As you look down that list, can you see there's all kinds of gifts of the Holy Spirit there? Well, loads of different sorts of gifts. And of those gifts, some of those gifts God will give you at different seasons of your life. My experience is that it's like tools in a tool bag. There's some seasons of your life where some of those gifts are really necessary and needed, and God will release and let you use those gifts. Other seasons of your life, there are other gifts that may be more needed and more necessary to do the work that God's given you to do. But they're not yours to own. Those gifts are not yours. They belong to God and they're His. God wants us to learn how to use them, but they don't belong to God. Whereas the fruit of the Holy Spirit is something actually God does in us. Those gifts are only tools. And it's important to remember that, because if God uses you to bring a word of knowledge or something prophetic or to pray for someone and they're healed, then I can think, wow, I'm God's man, I'm God's woman. I'm the person that God, there must be something special about me. Never used you, did he? Use me. And there can be a sense where it can go to our head, which the Corinthian church completely took to an extreme. Where we kind of think there's some reflection on the gifts, on us as users of the gifts. But just because I've got a wonderful, fantastic new Stanley knife with a brand new sharp blade in it, that's just the fact that it's a great tool. Or just because I've got a new hammer and it's a really fantastic hammer. But the tool itself is great. It doesn't reflect on me as someone that uses it. Obviously, I need to learn the skill of how to use that tool. Yes, absolutely. But it's important, you know, as we start in this whole season, in the fruit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to realize and to check our hearts, check our motives, check our kind of desires, check our kind of feelings about in terms of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That we've got to be very free and very easy to say, God, here I am. I want to use the gifts you've given me. I want to use them humbly. I want to use them in a way that glorifies and brings credit to you. And whenever God uses you to do anything, always remembering that it's God's the giver of these gifts. God's the one that's given these gifts to be able to work for him. There was a story of a poor sheep farmer, American sheep farmer, called Yates, Mr. Yates. And he had a ranch in America, and his sheep ranch was very poor. The quality of the soil, whatever, it didn't produce good grass. The sheep didn't graze very well. And the money that he borrowed from the bank, he found it more and more difficult to pay back the capital he borrowed and the interest. And so his family kind of got into some hardship, and he had to take a loan out, and then he had to receive government subsidy just to try and kind of manage day by day. And things got worse and worse and worse. One day, a seismic crew came to his property and said, "We believe there may be some oil underneath the ground." And so if they signed a lease contract, if they found some, you know, there's some way of kind of how they kind of share out the profits, whatever. They struck down this speculative well, and at 1,115 feet, they struck oil. It was a massive, massive 80,000 barrel a day oil field they had right underneath his field. And it went on for even after 30 years. They found another oil thing that was a 125 barrel a day oil field underneath his property. He's a multi millionaire, but he was living in poverty. He lived in poverty, not realizing what wonderful reserves there were underneath. And you know, sometimes we can live as Christians in poverty, not realizing the powerful gifts of the Holy Spirit that God's given us. Either we're too shy, or we don't want to step out, or we don't want to be embarrassed, or we don't, for whatever reason, we don't really dig down to see what has God deposited in my life. What are the things, what are the gifts that God has given me to use to be effective? So that I can really, really do this Christian life stuff and do it and be effective in all that God's called me to do. 20 years ago, there's a guy in this church. He was a guy called Hans. He was a Swiss guy, and he was in this church studying English for a while. Then he went back to Switzerland. I stuck up a friendship with him. He was in the Swiss Army, and he as a leaving present, he gave me a genuine Swiss Army knife from the Swiss Army, because that's where he'd been. All men had to be in the Swiss Army at that time. So he gave me this knife, and the thing, it's one of the most useful things. 20 years later, I used that tool because it's got all kinds of things packed in it. You can look at it from the outside, and you don't realize all the different tools and gadgets and things, and it's so well made, and it's such a useful thing that I use it all the time. But those tools are hidden. See, many of the gifts God's put in your life are hidden. And one of the things that I'm really in my heart, I long to see, is those gifts unpacked, those gifts released, those gifts coming to be used, so that we release. One of the values we've got as a church, if you know the A, B, C, D, E, of the five values we've got, the A value is that we're all involved. That there's something for everyone, there's a job for everyone to do, and the reason why there's a job for everyone to do in the kingdom of God is that everyone's got gifts. Every person's got gifts. Just want to ask you, just in closing, to look at that list of gifts I've given you. Just look down that list of gifts. Anyone not got one of those pieces of paper? Anyone missed out on those pieces of paper? Well, there's some spare, because I gave out about loads of them. There's a few over here needed for me. Thanks. Just look through that list of gifts. If you've got a pen, just put a little mark by ones that you think either you have got, you potentially think, I really would love God to use me in that area. If you haven't got a pen, don't worry, just mentally mark it down. Just go down that list of gifts. Now you've got not just one or two, you've got multiple gifts. Some of those things you're not even aware of. But you're not even aware of today, some of those gifts. I want to pray and ask that God would release, that God would help you unpack. Over these next months, as we're looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we're gonna really, in our cell groups, as we focus on these one by one, in our times on Sunday morning where there's specific focus on different gifts, we're going to be looking to release gifts of the Holy Spirit and see this fruit born in our lives. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 14. He said to the Corinthian church, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Listen to that. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Love is the first fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul was saying, don't just focus on spiritual gifts, don't just focus on the fruit of the Spirit, but follow, in other words, go down the path of acquiring this fruit. Go down the path, walk down the path of getting more of the fruit of Jesus in your life, fruit of the Holy Spirit, and desire eagerly spiritual gifts. See, if we're passive about spiritual gifts, if we're passive, if you're kind of person that thinks, well, if God gives it to me, great. If not, well, there you go. Never mind. Someone else. Then you won't experience the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God has for you. Because one of the things about the gifts of the Holy Spirit is to use them, we have to use faith. And faith is always spelled R-I-S-K. There's always a sense where we're stepping out as we're using a gift. We think, oh, God, I feel a bit kind of nervous. I don't feel quite equipped for this. I don't feel kind of ready. There's always a sense of using the gifts of the Holy Spirit where God wants us to put us where we feel that little bit where we're depending on Him. Because if it depended on you, it wouldn't be the gift of the Holy Spirit. It'd be you, wouldn't it? And, you know, what we need is God moving. And God only moves through faith. Just like you to get hold of your piece of paper that you've either marked or you've just got there. I just want to pray that God today would just start to stir up and release these gifts, these things that you've identified. Lord God, wonderful God, thank you. Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you that we are a church that you, Lord, have led and are leading by your Holy Spirit. And we believe this is a season where you have for us, Lord, to find out more about the Holy Spirit, to know him, to experience him, and to learn of his ways. And so, Lord, we want to ask, as we're starting this new season of understanding and being released in the fruit and gifts of the Holy Spirit, we're asking that you would come and teach us, Holy Spirit, that you would come and lead us, that you come and release us in these gifts and fruit. And Lord, today as we just marked some of these gifts of the Spirit, but we want to just bring this before you and ask, Lord God, that you would do a powerful thing, Lord, amongst us. Oh, Jesus, you would do a powerful thing, a wonderful thing, a wonderful thing. Thank you.